You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 167. Is your curriculum the problem? Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? All right. Welcome back to another episode. First of all, I want to thank you again for all the amazing and kind reviews. I read them all. I love them all. Thank you so much. Keep them coming, and I will do more random giveaways throughout the summer for family planners. So that is one of my favorite things, and it has been absolutely transformational for my family and for those who use it. Just love it. So anyways, you're going to want to win one of those. So keep giving me 5-star reviews on iTunes and you can be entered in to win one. All right. Have you ever had a kid be grumpy? Have you ever had a kid throw a major tantrum over the slightest thing? Isn't it amazing what the wrong fork or cup can do to a child with a kind of tantrum that they can have with something like that? I, with seven children, you better believe that I have had the opportunity to experience many grumpy children and many tantrums. I just had a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to experience some impressive ones with sweet little Master George. And it was quite impressive. Like, running away in a parking lot, and I got to show him I am still significantly faster because I was able to catch him easily. just little things, right? He got some sweet new light-up shoes from Walmart and did not want them to get dirty on a hike. Then he took them off so that he avoided the mud, and then he had dirty feet getting into his socks. Like, it was meltdown after meltdown. So I get an opportunity to experience meltdown. So I'm sure many of you can all laugh together. I hope you're laughing, not crying, but it's okay to experience whatever emotion you want to experience. I'm sure we've all had an opportunity to experience a child having a tantrum, a meltdown, a fit, all those types of things. So have you ever been in the checkout aisle with your kids at a grocery store, right? And they have all the candy there. And it is a mean trick, and especially if you have a kid who really wants candy and you don't buy candy, and they really want that candy, so they start screaming, and they get mad and angry because they want that treat, and it just escalates. But if you'll just buy them that candy, it'll quiet them down right then and there, and you don't have to deal with their tantrum anymore. Well, that will solve something momentarily, right? Your kid will quit crying right then, but it doesn't really solve the actual issue. It doesn't actually teach your kid to not have tantrums anymore and to not do those types of things. So, is there something in your homeschool that's not working? Do you have a child who throws a fit over doing a certain subject, right? If you talk about math, is it instant tears and angry? When it gets to reading, does it a full meltdown? I can't do it. I don't know what's going on, right? Have you ever had a child have a full meltdown during school? Maybe when you have a kid freaking out over a subject, you think, I just have to throw out this curriculum and buy a new one, and it's going to fix everything, quote unquote, fix. It is almost like getting the candy bar for the kid having a meltdown at a store, thinking that this is going to fix things. Momentarily, it will fix something, but it will not fix the actual underlying issue. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying that you can never switch curriculums, slow things down, or speed things up. But if you are throwing new curriculums at a child to stop them from having a meltdown or stop them from being so grumpy, you are just buying them the candy at the candy store, hoping that they will not have another meltdown. So it will just continue to surface if they are continually having a meltdown over curriculum. And every time you throw a new curriculum at them and they have another meltdown, a new curriculum is not going to be magic and all of a sudden make so they do not have another meltdown. There is no such thing as a magic curriculum that will solve all of your child's behavior issues And I mean, if somebody has found something out there, by all means, share it with all of us. But friends, I'm telling you right now, it does not exist. If your child is constantly having meltdowns over whatever curriculum you are throwing at them, the curriculum is not the issue. So this got me thinking. There's a couple different ways to think about this, right? First of all, meltdowns are not an issue. And that is just a child feeling some strong emotions. And you can get really curious about that. But how do you tell the difference between a curriculum truly not serving your family or a child maybe throwing a fit to get out of work or throwing a fit because they are just feeling a certain emotion? So as I was asking myself this question, like, how do you tell the difference? Because there have times that I've gotten rid of curriculum and I wasn't doing it because it was going to quote unquote solve all my family's problems and be all of a sudden school's going to be magical and it wasn't going to be awful anymore. If you are going in with a curriculum thinking this is going to be magical and solve all of our problems, I will tell you right now, that is not the mindset you want to be going, especially if you are just trying new curriculums continually because you think it's going to fix everything. Now, there have been times when I have switched curriculums because it wasn't serving a child. And there have been times I've slowed things down because I noticed something wasn't working. So how do you tell the difference between I need to slow things down, I need to throw it out, or I just need to help my kid push through? So the one thing that kept coming to my mind as I was pondering this question is when you are truly connected with someone, and you really know them, you can start knowing the difference because you know them so well. So for example, I was sitting at dinner the other day and my cute 11-year-old came and he was looking at me and he was talking to me and he goes, "Hey mom, are you tired?" And I go, "I don't know, maybe a little bit, but I'm okay." And he goes, "You sure? Your eyes doing that wonky thing it does when you're tired." And I looked at him and I go, "Yeah, actually I am. I'm exhausted. I'm extremely exhausted." And he was like, "Okay. I could tell by the way of your face." So I have a tell when I am extremely tired, and you've maybe even noticed it in these YouTube videos. If you watch these videos on YouTube, or if you ever watch my face, I have an eye that will droop when I get really tired. And maybe now you're looking for it. I don't know. And you're like, "Oh, she was tired in that video." Oh, she wasn't tired in that video. So my family knows me so well that they can tell I'm tired, even if I say the words, "I'm not tired," just by looking at my wonky eye. They are like, "Oh, I can tell mom's tired because her eye is doing that thing." And they were even teasing me one day, like, "It kind of flickers. It does," like, they know exactly what my eye does when I get tired, even if I'm like, "No, I'm not really that tired." And when they question it, I was like, "Oh, actually, I am exhausted. I didn't realize I was just pushing through," right? So they can spot it because they know me so well. So think about that same idea with your child. When you have that type of connection with them, you can now tell the difference if maybe you just need to slow down, or maybe you do need to mix things up, or maybe throw the whole thing out. You have to build it upon that connection with your child so you can tell the difference, because you will start to really see them and start to see what their body is trying to tell you when words aren't there, especially when a child doesn't have the words to just say, like, "I don't think I'm smart enough. I'm just so tired." Maybe that's because I feel that one, right? Maybe you have a kid who's like, "This is boring because it's not very hard and it's not challenging me and I'm bored with it," right? They don't always have the words to say those types of things. So can you connect with your child at such a level that you can see what they cannot say? When you can see what is really going on, you can start to work with your child to find a solution instead of just throwing more money at a different curriculum thinking, "Oh goodness, let's see if this will solve everything." By doing this, this is going to save you so much money and probably a lot of tears. When you build your homeschool on connection, you can start to figure things out. I have had many of opportunities to have children freak out over different school subjects. Math has been one of them. One of my darlings, math came really, really easy to them. And all of a sudden it got hard and they actually had to try. And I watched this child have some major meltdowns over math. And it was so interesting because I could see this child just was questioning, oh my goodness, maybe I'm not intelligent. All of a sudden, this is hard and I have to really think about it. And when I could really see that child and what their body was saying, I could see I just needed to slow it down and help them to see that it's okay that sometimes things challenge us, right? And what we did is we mixed things up with some games. We went slower. That kid would do a problem. I would do a math problem. Then we would say, who could do the fastest and who can get the most right? And we would mix it up. And then all of a sudden, maybe a few weeks or a month after doing that, the kid then got their confidence back and said, okay, mom, I can do this again. I didn't have to buy a new math book. I didn't have to spend any money. I just had to slow it down. I've had another kid with language arts who's had major meltdowns. Just in case you're wondering if my family's perfect, we are human and my children have meltdowns. I've had meltdowns. It's all the beautiful things, right? But one child was having a meltdown over language arts, and I could see once again that this was hard for them and they were feeling inadequate. All we had to do was slow it up, slow it down, and just instead of doing one big, huge lesson, just do chunks of a lesson. Just break it up. Sometimes there was one of my children who had a meltdown over math, and I realized that this math book was not a good fit for this child. This child needed much more of a story, an adventure, and math needed to have more reason and a purpose and a why. And when we mixed up the math curriculum for this child, then they excelled, because the other way was just really routine and a lot of just doing the same math problems over and over again. And it was just getting boring and mundane to them. And when the child had more variety, then all of a sudden they lit up. You learn these things when you truly get to know your child. And you can ask questions, right? Be careful with not putting thoughts in their head of like, oh, do you think you're stupid? Do you think you're dumb? Right? Like, you may want to be careful with some of those questions, but maybe ask, like, getting curious. Why are they having a meltdown? Do they feel like it's too hard? Do they feel like we should need to go slower? Is there a way we could make this more fun or more exciting? And then there's also a space too of allowing a child to have a meltdown or just an off day. Is this like a one-time experience that they're having a meltdown and they just need to have space to have a meltdown and have somebody say, that's okay. Sometimes I think some things are hard too and I want to have a meltdown. I remember when we had our big 15-passenger van, white homeschool van, and I still am a homeschooler, even though my van is giving up the ghost. And I was off the side of the highway, and it was off of a road that I rarely drive. And so I had called a tow truck and had asked them to take it to the shop and all that, and I was going to see if I could fix the van. And then I happened to go out on this highway and I saw my van was still there. And now it had stickers from the police saying, we are going to tow this van and you are going to have to pay all these fees and fines and all of this stuff. And I was then calling the towing company, the insurance company, and like not getting everything done. So I had to call the police officer, and my husband was in Africa at this time with no cell service. And I'm trying to figure all this stuff out. And I don't do hardly anything with our finances or insurance or anything like that. And so I had a meltdown. I had a total meltdown. And I cried to the police officer like, listen, I'm doing my best here. I don't know like what to do right now. And he was so sweet to me, just like, okay. Like, let's get it figured out. I'm going to help you, honey. And so I totally had a meltdown over it. It was one day and I had a rough day and I cried and then I was fine. So when your kid has a meltdown, when you get to know them, you can see like, okay, this is just an off day. They're just having a rough day. You can know like, oh, we need to slow down. This is too hard. They're maybe feeling a little inadequate and they're not understanding. Maybe this is boring and we need to mix it up and throw in some games or make it a little bit more challenging, maybe make it fun in some sort of way. Or maybe I know my kids so well that this is not the right curriculum for them. As you build your homeschool on connection, these things are easier to figure out because you just know your kid and what they're trying to say with their body that they do not have the words to say. So I challenge you to always build your homeschool on this connection of getting to know your kid. Simple things to build a connection with your kid. Let go of the story that they're a pain in the butt, that they're difficult, that they're hard, all those types of things, and start seeing their good, amazing, awesome traits and pointing it out to them. You are amazing at taking initiative. You are so fun. Look for them doing those things and point it out. When you have people who build you up in your life, you feel more connected to them because you feel safe with them. You feel like they can see all your warts. You know, you've heard that, like, can you love somebody? Can you love me with all my warts and all that stuff, right? When you point out what they're doing well and don't focus on the wart, like, yeah, you're really good at this. It's okay. That's one simple way to start building a connection with your kid. Yes, it is that easy. So if you are questioning whether or not your child, that like, you need to throw out a curriculum, look through it. Try to see what your child is actually saying. Build upon that connection so you can see that. I challenge you to do that this year instead of wasting money just on more curriculum, thinking it's going to be the magic curriculum to solve all your issues. Okay, friends, have an amazing week. Give me another 5-star review and you get so many bonus points in heaven for doing so. But you'll be entered into a drawing for another family planner. So love you lots and talk to you next week.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.